First Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, Amplified Bible. It says, for the one who wants to enjoy life. How many people want to enjoy life? And see good days. Sound unit, I'm not on the monitors at all, and I'm using a handheld. Amen. And do something to my low frequency. For the one who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good, whether apparent or not, must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, that is treachery or deceit. He must turn away from wickedness and do what is right. He must search for peace with God, with self, with others. That's what we're talking about today. He must search for peace with God, with self, with others, and pursue it eagerly, that is actively, not merely desiring it. In other words, that the two of us are at peace is not a function of the fact that nothing happened. He says, I've got to work for it. I've got to seek for it eagerly. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are looking favorably upon the righteous, that is the upright, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. That is, he is eager to answer them. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil. And in this context, to practice evil is to be a person of conflict. You need to pay attention this morning. Time will not permit us to go over the stuff we covered on Wednesday. But I told them on Wednesday, if I want to call it something else, I would have said 4 steps or 5 steps to answer prayer. Because in this portion of scripture, it gave us very simple principles to follow. You want to enjoy life, you want to see good days. A translation says, if you want to see beauty in every day. Said, number one, don't speak evil with your mouth. So I told them on Wednesday how, no matter what happens, don't say anything negative about anybody. As a matter of fact, don't talk about people, talk about ideas. Small people talk about people. Big people talk about ideas. You will not catch Otedola and Dangote gossiping Elumelu. Now, I'm not saying they don't talk about him, but they don't say negative things. See, this is what I'm saying. So, Dangote is building a refinery, and if you follow Femi Otedola on Instagram, he visits, he snaps pictures, and posts positive things about what his friend is doing. I'm sure there are challenges on that side. But they don't talk about problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't talk about problems. So the two of them may sit down and say, Femi Otedola, Dangote are talking about Elumelu, and they'll be talking about, look at what he did. I like the way he did that. And then they will take one of the good things he's doing, they will add it to their own. So even if you must talk about people, say something positive, because there's something positive about everybody. I'm telling you the truth. The same thing about every situation. There's something positive about every situation. I told them on Wednesday, that go-kada girl now has a car. She wouldn't have gotten a car if they didn't ban Okada. So why don't you talk about the person that got promotion because of the ban instead of the person that has lost source of income because of the ban? I'm not saying it didn't happen, but don't talk about it. It's a powerful principle. Positive things happen to positive people. What you say is what you have. Regardless of the fact that you are commenting, you will have what you say. So God says, you want your prayers to be answered? Speak positive about people, about situations, about circumstance. Turn away from evil. Do good. Hallelujah. Seek for peace. That's what this message series is all about. Do everything. Make every effort to be at peace. The Bible says God is attentive to the prayers of such people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you on Wednesday that there's a strong connection between your peace and your prosperity. And we took time to define peace, and I'm not going to go back. We looked at it from the Hebrew. We looked at it from the Greek. We looked at it from English. Amen. Just get the CD. They have it with the book stand already. Get the CD of Wednesday's message. But let me help you with this. Peace. I want to give you something I didn't talk about on Wednesday. Okay? Two words that you must just always remember. Every time you want to remember peace, somebody says zero, conflict. One more time, say zero, conflict. One more time, say zero, conflict. That's peace. Zero conflict. Zero conflict. between you and God, inside you, and between you and people. Zero conflict. Peace is a state or period in which there is no war, or a war has ended. So when the Bible says we should make every effort to be at peace, even if there is a battle, if there is fight, be the one to end it. Okay? There's a video we share with the couples. It's on YouTube, and I probably just tell Ms. Daniel to share with all married people. About this family, they practically were going to divorce. They called the family meeting, okay, and the lady said, before we entered the meeting, my mother said, if you decide to walk away from this marriage, I'm on your side. I'm behind you. And they entered the meeting. She said, at the point, if I talk back and forth, you know the way it can be. Everybody will make a speech. And then, so what do you think? What do you say? She said, she told them, give me a minute. And she went into the room. She said, and she prayed and said, Lord, tell me what to do now. Whatever you tell me to do now, I will do. She said, the Holy Spirit said to her, go back to that room, kneel down, and on behalf of you and your husband, apologize to everybody for calling the meeting. Listen, she was offended. He slapped her. Do you understand what I'm saying now? He slapped her. She was the offended person. But the Holy Spirit said to her, you be the one to make peace. She said, when she entered and knelt down and said to everybody, on behalf of myself and my husband, I'm sorry for this meeting. We are sorry for bothering you, all of that. She said, our own mother got up angrily and left. Because she looked like, look, you are going to die here. Is it until he kills you? The two of them sat at that interview, not only fully reconciled, now they have started a marriage counseling ministry. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The day they came to divide. Amen. You get it? Let's go our separate ways. And I'm saying, it does not matter if you were the offended person. You make peace. Hallelujah. You be the one to do what? You be the one to make peace. Make up your mind. My prosperity is tied to my peace. So zero conflict. Zero conflict. Whether the person offended me. If I'm the one that offended the person, the more reason. The Bible says, if you come to God's presence with a gift and you realize or you remember that somebody has something against you, drop your gift. Go and be reconciled to that person before you come and offer your gift. Why? The reason is because of what I shared with them on Wednesday. Peace is the atmosphere where God operates. And I told them, praise is the protocol of God's presence. When you want God to show up, begin to praise and worship Him. But peace is the protocol of His blessing. Psalm 133. Let's just go back there for the benefit of those who were not in church on Wednesday. And we'll push it forward this morning. Psalm 133 and verse 1 to 3. How good and pleasant it is when God's people, pay attention to the word when. Okay? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Look at this. For there the Lord bestows his blessing. Them which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That blessing, not blessings. That blessing, that endowment of God that makes a person prosper. It's in the place of peace that he commands it. Now look at what I've read to you just now. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there, where, then, it will become. How pleasant it is for brethren or for people of God to dwell together in unity. Look at it again. Put the scripture on the screen. How pleasant it is. So, I know you were friends, were brothers. See, last week, you offended me. And since last week, I've been angry at you, but I didn't tell you. Because everybody thinks you are holy. If I tell you now, they will think I'm the one that is carnal. But I know that you are not a child of God like that. You are just faking it. I know, but it's not me that... Okay, so you're running out of batteries. That's not happening.
Amen. We manage this until they fix that. Okay, so, okay, maybe it's because I picked on Ibubi. That's why, as I was saying those things, I was saying, the mic just felt like, how can you talk? You see what I'm saying now? Even the microphone agrees that he's a righteous man, that I'm the one picking on him. Okay? But the Bible says, regardless of what the conflict is, and by the way, I didn't say anything to him, but he's been reading my body language. So he's my music director, and he has said in his heart, he didn't tell anybody, that Shegu guy, short black boy, I will show him in this church. The next time you touch microphone, we'll be in rapture. So as he schedules people to lead praise and worship, he does not schedule me. Do you understand? So then we now come together, we'll be worshiping God. We'll be wondering why nothing is dropping. Because it is when. So the moment I just wake up, maybe we've been fasting and praying, I just did my quiet time for the first time in like 3 weeks, and you know, I'm just in the spirit, like some of you get to be in the spirit like once a month. And I was like, I'm sorry. And for one reason or the other, he heard this message too. He said, look, I'd rather be at peace than to be right. And we agree. When we are in unity, there the Lord commands his blessing. When? So every time we are not in unity, we suspend the blessing. Thank you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Okay? It's not just there. It is when. So in my home, at every point in time, we must be at peace. Because I don't want the blessing to be suspended. Are you getting this? It's not where we live in unity. It is when. Hallelujah. You know the reason why? Because source equals sustenance. Source equals sustenance. The source of a thing is its sustenance. So when God was going to produce fish, he spoke to the water, he spoke to the sea. And that's why fishes would thrive in the sea. When he was going to make trees, he spoke to the ground. And that's why when you uproot a tree from the ground, it dies. Because it has to be connected to the ground for it to be sustained. When God was going to create birds, he spoke to the firmament. And that's the reason why man may not be able to fly the way or glide the way they do, but when they are there, it's their natural habitat. Man is a product of community. And it can only thrive by community. Whatever translation of the Bible you check, Genesis 1:26 is, let us make man in our own image and let them. Amen? It is let us, let them. Check. Whatever translation you have, check it. Amplified, NIV. It is us, them. Us, them. This is what I'm trying to say to you. God did not design your success or your prosperity, okay, outside of the context of relationships. The moment you isolate yourself, you begin to shrivel. So when I said the source of a thing is a sustenance, I knew you thought I was talking about man was made from God, so when he's cut away from God, he begins to die. Yes, but much more than that. Man is a product of community. Are you listening to me? So even when God was going to come in the form of a man, he still did it in the context of family. See, Joseph was not needed to conceive Jesus, but Joseph was needed to raise Jesus. This is why peace is important. Whatever God wants to do in your life, he's going to do it in the context of your relationships. Let me say it to you another way. God is your source. People are his resources. God is your source. People are his resources. So for you to succeed, you must be at peace with God, at peace in yourself, and at peace with men. Did you catch that? At peace, some of us are at peace with God, but at loggerheads with men. And you are wondering why things are not working. The way of the transgressor is hard. The moment you violate God's standard, God's principles, God's way of doing things, things become difficult. Listen, ordinarily, everywhere you turn, people should favor you. Ordinarily, when you knock, the door should be open. When you ask, you should receive. When you seek, you should find. When you pray to God for anything, you receive it. When you ask of men anything, they should favor you. But that simple principle will stop working when you are no longer at peace. So Jesus in John chapter 17 was praying for us. He could have prayed for us to be spiritually powerful. He could have prayed that our spiritual eyes be enlightened. He could have prayed for us that God will show us the world to come. There was only one thing he said. He said that they may be one as we are one. Because you see, the moment you see peace, you see God. The moment you see peace, you see God. So on the day of Pentecost, what did we see? They were all together in one accord. And there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm trying to say. When God instituted marriage, he knew what he was doing. God instituted marriage as such that no human will be devoid of exploits. Listen to me, husbands and wives. And this principle applies, if you can understand what I'm saying. The moment the two of you agree as touching anything, it's a protocol. Heaven sanctions it. Are we getting this? Heaven sanctions it. Single, build the kind of relationships where people share your values. You operate with people who share your values. Because it is whatever two or three of us shall agree as touching on earth. Not necessarily after we get married. See, but when we get married, we are supposed to be in an atmosphere where agreement is the default setting. The single person has to look for somebody to agree with. The married person has someone to agree with automatically. But fight will not allow us. Amen? So you will understand the connection between this series and the previous one. Because some people think spiritual warfare is village people. Stubborn pursuers. Nobody is pursuing you in that sense. The moment you wake up in the morning, you look your husband in the face, you say, I will show you. Blessing lifts. Are you getting this? So God said to men, he said, be careful the way you deal with your wife. See, spiritual things, a lot of what we call spiritual things are not as spiritual. A lot of what we think are not spiritual things are very, very spiritual. My wife is not happy when I say it. It's not because I'm a good Christian that I don't like fighting with my wife. It's because I'm selfish. God said, deal with your wife according to knowledge. Okay? It says, treat her like the weaker vessel so that your prayers may not be in that. Listen to this. So, my husband, when you're coming from the office tomorrow, buy me pizza. Pizza, go. Pizza near. Was that not a physical thing? What's food? Even the Bible says, food for belly, belly for food, the Lord shall destroy them. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How can God be offended because I refuse to do something carnal? You would have forgotten. Especially if she's pregnant. They say they have cravings. Amen? And around 7:30, you are back from work, Third Mainland Bridge. You left the office at 4:30, you got home at 8:55. Says, my husband, I want pizza. You look at her like this. What did I do? Are you the first person to be pregnant? Bottom line, you refuse to do it. She goes to bed displeased. Amen. Then you wake up the following morning. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning. You begin to pace back and forth. Father, in the name of Jesus. They just ever mute. So who is that one? Ah, Shemi Jaya Musi, lie. Nothing they happen today. So we are not hearing this prayer. Are you getting this? Jesus said, when you went to visit somebody in prison, it was a spiritual thing. When you gave somebody a cup of water, it was a spiritual thing. First, to pray. But there are some other things you do that are deeper spiritually than your fasting and prayer. So all I need to know is, what does my wife want? Amen? I tell you this, whether you are the husband or whether you are the elderly, maybe the first child in your family, when you take on that responsibility, there's supernatural supply. That's the truth. I learned that one from Pastor Nika Adeyemi. She said, I'm the first child in my family. My husband is the first child. So you know the way it is. We have responsibilities. But we have found out that the moment we embrace our responsibility, there is a divine allocation. As a husband, as a father, the moment you say, I am the pathfinder, I am the provider in this home, I embrace my responsibility, there is a divine allocation. So we are at peace. Your appetite may double. Your desire may skyrocket. It is according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But most of us men, we consider our pocket and the economy, they will begin to legislate. In this house, and then your children are not happy. Your wife is not happy. Listen to me. Your wife is your favor factor. African men, treat your wife like an idol. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? You know, in those days when they farm, they say there's no produce. They say we need to appease the gods. This is your oil. This is your... Sometimes the priest will say that the deity wants a virgin. Whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, you will say, Pastor, I don't have that kind of money. You have. Your prosperity is not manifesting because you are not at peace. See, let me say, some of us, the conversation alone is what suspended peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're listening to me. Okay, it looks like I came for the men this morning. From now on, and please, everybody, it's for all of us. When your landlord increases the rent, don't fight. By the way, you can move. It's not compulsory to live there. Is somebody listening to me? Don't fight anybody. Just be at peace. Amen? Be at peace because your prosperity is tied to your peace. You remember Isaac? He dug a well. Who owned the well? His father Abraham. But he dug the well and they quarreled with him over it. What did he do? He moved and dug another one. Tell your neighbor for me, it's better to be at peace than to be right. Amen. See, there's something about this is fundamental human rights. I know my rights. I know my rights. Sometimes you know your rights. You know your rights. And then you are not at peace. Some of us, just conversations. Something. Somebody told you something that somebody said in the office. It's not even true. And then you have lost your peace. And suspend your own blessing. Amen. Let's push it forward this morning. I said your prosperity requires that you be at peace with God. That you be at peace in yourself. And that you be at peace with all men. Sometimes when somebody looks for your trouble, you are quick to say, it's the person that looked for my trouble. But when Jesus was sending out his disciples, listen to this. He said to them, anywhere you get to, say peace be unto them. He said, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest. If not, it will return to you. But what do you have to offer? Peace. So my reaction is not a function of provocation. My reaction is an overflow of what I carry. If you don't have trouble, they won't find trouble. They may be looking for your trouble. I mean, it's like somebody breaks into your house now and they are looking for your BlackBerry Bold. You used to have, but you don't have anymore. If the person searches your house for the next 6 hours, what would they find? Nothing. Yeah, you used to be a hothead. You used to be angry. They knew how to press your button. But if you can press into peace, like I'm sharing with you this morning, the next time they look for your trouble, what are they going to find? Nothing. You don't have it anymore. So your reaction is not a function of provocation. You know, like that guy that keeps beating his wife. Says, she provokes me. My wife, the way she talks. And then he goes outside of the house. And a soldier steps on his toes. The same person. Say, uncle, you stepped on me. So, I'm just saying, so that next time you not step on other people. I'm just saying. I know I'm okay, I'm fine. The same person that can't control himself at home suddenly has self-control outside. This is what I'm trying to say to you. When your vision for your future becomes bigger, your test for peace will double. If you can see it, Nehemiah said, I can't come down to you. I am doing something important. If you understand what you're building, where you're going, how important. See, this is what I'm trying to say. You need to spend time with God to the point where you can see the glory that he has invested in you. You will stop fighting people. So it's not because they didn't look for your trouble. They can't find it. You don't have trouble anymore. It's vision you have now. Is somebody listening to me? I'm telling you, you don't have trouble anymore. Your mother-in-law knows how to come and draw lines and be territorial. She's being territorial in a rented apartment. And you already see your own property in the future. You know, there are places you can relocate to that she can't come. Amen? So stop fighting over the allowances when you are still going to Banana Island. Are you getting it now? Let her do whatever she likes. Hallelujah. That's not you. Amen. That's not your life. That's not your home. I'm telling you the truth. Some people listening to me, God says, I will give you double for your trouble. Some of the people troubling you right now will not even be around. Yes, sir. When you start enjoying your double. I don't know who that word is for. She will be long gone when your time of settlement comes. But if you are not careful, you would allow her to poison you. And even after she's dead, she will still be speaking. Not because of what she's doing then, but because of what you have allowed to be sown in your heart now. Are we getting this? It was a story I would have told you, but time will not permit me. So let's talk about peace with God. Let's talk about being at peace. And then let's talk about peace with men. So I'm going to talk about peace with God. I'm going to talk about being at peace. And then on Wednesday, we'll talk about peace with men. Okay? Let me give you a hint. Anywhere you find people, you will find conflict. So you see, this peace we are talking about is not necessarily the absence of conflict. This peace is the peace that goes through conflict the right way and lands on the other side without losing peace. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. But let's start from talking about the peace with God. Okay, so it is salvation that gives you peace with God. The moment you give your life to Christ, you are at peace with God. This is what it means. It's not like you were fighting God, but God was fighting you. And when God is not happy with somebody, okay, not because of anything you did, but because of your condition as fallen man. So the wrath of God is coming upon everyone who is not born again. And they are not covered in God's covenant with his children. So when God is manifesting goodness, they don't experience his goodness like the children of God will experience the goodness of God. So they, you need to be at peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, this is what it means. The moment you are in Christ, God does not have any basis to judge you. The moment you are in Christ, God has no basis to be angry with you. Please, you need to get, we've done so much on this, I don't want to belabor the issue. If you were not here when we did the series, I am. Okay? If you were not here when we did the series, I am, what's the fight? Okay, those are message series that deals with sin, okay, our power over sin, the forgiveness of God, the love of God. But you need to understand, for the purpose of this message, once you are in Christ, you become the object of the love of God. Between you and God, there is peace. When God looks at you, when God thinks about you, all he thinks about you is good. All he thinks about you is prosperity. All he thinks about you is health, protection. Are we getting this? So no fear, no condemnation. The Bible says that love casts away what? Fear. Listen, this is what I'm saying. From the moment you give your life to Christ, if anything bad should happen, don't even imagine that it's coming from God. You know? Because you are what? You have peace with God. Somebody say with me, I have peace with God. Hallelujah. Say it one more time. I have peace with God. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Some of us, what the devil fights you with is the knowledge of what you did before. The moment the devil begins to attack you with the knowledge of what you did before, you remind the devil, I am now in Christ Jesus. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is what it means. I sinned. I was supposed to die. But Jesus paid. The moment I put my faith in Christ, the life of God is what begins to flow towards me. God will never revisit sin anymore in the life of a believer. Are we getting this? We've taken time to teach this so you have peace with God. How can you have peace? How is it that when somebody looks for your trouble, all they are going to find is peace? Now listen to me, this is my message today. It is not humanly possible. Let me tell you why we fight. The average one of us, naturally in our flesh, is selfish. None of you woke up this morning, got dressed, and said, I'm going to church so that God can be happy. No. You woke up and dressed and said, I'm going to church. Now, I don't know your reason. Okay? Some people, I'm going to church to be happy. I'm going to church because I enjoy it. You know how many churches you left before you got here?
Ordinarily, the band would not have been very miserable if all of us go to church around our house. So you like your church. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? But I'm just trying to tell you, you didn't come here because you like me. You came here because you like you. Because you like what I preach. So you come to hear me preach because you like you. So if anything happens between the two of us, the first person you think about is you. Okay, let me use a very hilarious illustration. Anytime you look at a group picture, how do you determine whether it's beautiful or not? See? It's how you look. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when the devil saw that we were fighting over it, he invented selfie. So you would take 45 and then pick one and still filter it before you post it. Then you now be waiting for us to like it. And the reason why some of us don't like it is because we know this is not your real face. So we are this selfie generation. Think about it. It's amazing. Somebody goes to a very beautiful place. Before you know, it's about self. 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 So it's difficult for us to be at peace, or better still, it's difficult for us to not have conflict because we are always out for ourselves. The only way you can be at peace in yourself is for you to have the peace of God. Because God is selfless. So there is a dimension of peace that comes from God. It is when you have that kind of peace that you can, even though you are at peace with God. This is what I'm trying to say. There are so many people who are at peace with God, but who are not at peace in themselves. Is it not amazing? If I walk past this place now, and all of them say, good morning, sir, and I don't answer. It's amazing. None of them will say, what is he going through that he did not hear that we greeted him? What do we say? I greeted him, he didn't answer me. What did I do? Then God help him. If just after you, he answers somebody else. You will not say, he didn't notice me, he was lost in thought, and then by the time he came to his consciousness, that was the person he saw, so he answered that person. We interpret it from our perspective. As a matter of fact, even children, okay, even children, when their parents are going through a divorce, children, they assume, it's my fault. Because man in his fallen state thinks about himself, sees himself as the reason or the object. If you are going to be at peace, let me give you this one free of charge. I tell my son that all the time. You are not the center of the universe. We are all not here because of you. Okay? I bought you a Man City jersey for a reason. Say, no, daddy, I don't want to watch the match. I want to watch my own program. I said, no, we are watching the match. Why? Because I said so. Why? Because I am daddy. Guess what he will say? But I want my own. Then when nobody listens, he walks away. Nobody even loves me in this house. I say, boy, I don't even know where he got all of that from. So that's not going to work on me. You are not the reason why we are here. You are not the purpose. You are just one of us. Hallelujah. Can you say that to yourself? Mention your first name. And say, you are not the center of the universe. Amen. You are not the center. It's amazing. Somebody is celebrating, dedicating a car. And they are praying for the car. You know, that time we pastors, we know when we say, stretch forth your hands, pray. Some of you are not praying. A lot of people is. And what you are thinking about is, this one too has gone now. When is it going to be my turn? I'm telling you, you know, sometimes I'm even afraid to dedicate cars. Because as you are praying, sometimes you can literally see in the eye of another person. Minus one. Whereas, if you are the one that they are dedicating his car, have you noticed there's the way you just feel everything is okay with the world? Because we are naturally selfish. So we can't be at peace. Because when you are selfish, you will conflict. So when we are talking, I'm thinking about me, you are thinking about you. Are you getting this? That's the basis for all our conflicts. God is the one that has the kind of love that sacrifices for the benefit
of the other. So let me show you how you can get the peace of God. Just three steps. Number one, trust Him. And that's the starting point. This should not be a point I should teach to Christians. But it's amazing how many people are believers, but we don't trust God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible is simple, it's straightforward. After we confess scripture, after we pray, there are certain things we do that proves that we don't trust God. Tell your neighbor for me this morning, just trust Him. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God can be trusted. Trusting God is not something we say in church. Trusting God is something we ought to do. Should I prove how that we don't trust God? That's what makes a sister comes for singles time out and hears all the principles, even sends in a question, and then goes away from singles time out, and you are still playing hanky-panky. Do you understand? You still have like three people. It's their own they've said, though. Eh? What if it's this one? Or what if it's that one? Or what if it's this one? Are you getting it now? Ah. It is what makes a person come to church, give, pray, and then you get to your office and you are still doing deals. Eh? And it's because we don't trust God. See, forget about your neighbor and look at the things you do on a daily basis and ask yourself, do I really trust God? Let the other ladies say amen. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. How can you say you have prayed about it and you are still crying about it? We wake up in the morning. We do morning devotion. Good morning, Jesus. We pray. Father, this is what the doctor said. Father, but we believe you because your word says. And after we pray, we have prayed in Jesus' name. 12:30. So what happened? I don't even know now. What's now going to happen? I thought we prayed about it. Tell the lady sitting around you, say, trust God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26, verse 3. When I saw this, it blessed me. If you were in church on Wednesday, this would bless you. Peace in the Hebrew is what? Say it again. Peace in Hebrew is what? Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, talking about God, you will keep him in perfect peace. Or let me read exactly the way the NIV says. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are set steadfast because they trust in you. The beautiful part there is perfect peace. As if peace is not enough. When I researched it in the Hebrew, you know what it says? You will keep him in shalom, shalom. I'm not sure you got that. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, he whose mind is stayed. There the Bible was talking about protection. Follow me closely. Protection. This is what the Bible is saying. God is going to be on double watch concerning you. But what it takes is for your mind to be stayed on him. For you to say, Lord, I trust you. People may be saying whatever they say. They may say time has gone. They may tell you, is this how your life is just going to waste away? You know, Lord, I trust you. God says, when you are that kind of person, I will keep you in shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Perfect peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. I guess the interpreters, or the translators of the Bible fear God. We can't just write peace, peace. So they wrote it as perfect peace. But in the Hebrew, it is shalom, shalom. Just like when Jesus says, verily, verily, one verily is enough from the word turned flesh. But when he says, verily, verily, you can take it to the bank. God will keep you in shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. If your mind is stayed on him, that is how you enter the peace of God. Step number one. Step number two, cast your care. Amen. Trust him, then consciously, that thing that is bothering you, put it in his hand. This one is very instructive. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to 7. Let's read it from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, don't worry about anything. Can you see Bible? Amen? So when you are, listen, worry is an abuse of the imagination. Give me your attention, give me your attention, give me your attention. When God gave us our imagination, he gave it to us for us to pre-play the future, for us to configure our lives the way we want. Worry is when you use your imagination to configure evil. Because the only reason why you worry to the point where you now begin to cry is because you use your imagination to play worst case scenario and conclude that as the only way things are going to turn out. Are you listening to me? If you play games very well, you understand what I'm saying. You may not know the combination. It may look like the game ends in level 7, but it's not true. How many people have finished playing Candy Crush before? Let me see your hand. I've finished Candy Crush. Let me see your hand. I'm still looking for the person. How many people gave up? Yeah, that's the way life is. The only reason why you will not prosper, the only reason why things will not work out in your favor, is because you give up. See, they designed those difficulty levels. And if you notice the way those games are configured, the day you break it the first time, if you play Donkey Kong, you understand what I'm saying. It may look like you cannot do it, but the day you do it, then it dawns on you, if you can just press it twice when you get to this point, and then it becomes cheap. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't want to waste money, so I started my kids off with PS2. And it's amazing how I bought the game, you know, I can't even remember which one I bought recently, and I just gave to them. And I've learned to not bother. It would amaze you. Without anybody teaching them, they sit with it, they fiddle with it. After some time, the habit mastered. Yes, it was Finding Nemo. I was playing with 31 one day like that. And I got to a particular point and I gave up. Because try all you can, the game ends, you lose life and all of that. And I just, you know, I always say to myself, we are playing. And life is hard enough. We should not be playing game and be writing exam. So I move on. Okay? For every game I play, difficulty level is always amateur. Yeah, I used to score like 20 goals when I play FIFA. Because I'm not here to stress myself. We are playing. But guess what? In less than 24 hours, Daddy says, Daddy, I've left that level. You know, that's what I'm supposed to be the father now. How come I gave up and she got it? Because she did not give up. This is the secret of not giving up. When you get to that difficulty level, stop playing and put it in the hand of God. He designed the game. And he said, I will not take you to a difficulty level that I will not show you how to escape. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Don't worry about anything. I'm not saying don't think about it. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't do something about it. But there's one thing you must never do about any situation. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Prayer is the antidote to worry. You cannot continually worry about something you are truly praying to God for. Back to step one. Prayer is expressing trust in God. So a lot of times we are not praying about it. We are expressing worry about it in the place of prayer. Amen? You know that the person that's telling what happened and is crying, is not necessarily telling the truth. Amen? Yeah, there's a deeper way I would have said it, but English fails me. Okay? That you are crying does not mean you are telling the truth. That you are crying does not mean you are telling the truth. Because the widow of Zarephath said, there is nothing we can give you. This is the last. Myself and my son, we want to eat this, and then after that, we die. I said, madam, you don't have Google. Science has discovered that it takes 40 days without food and water for starvation to set in. Even without a miracle, you are not dying in 40 days. So this is not your last meal. So we say, yeah, everybody asked for it. It's not true. Amen. But the reason why you continually worry is because you refuse to pray. So your perspective does not change. A lot of times, what changes in the place of prayer is not the situation. It's our perspective. The well was there all the while. Hagar was crying. Are you listening to me? Isaac was worried, but there was a ram caught by the ticket. Say, I can see the rope. I can see the knife. Some of you wives, that's how you disturb Abraham. My husband, the month has ended. Every other person has paid. Where are we going to get money from? And then you think, let's talk about it. You now begin to talk like Andrew. 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is this among so many? Listen, wife, listen. If you cannot speak faith about it, please keep quiet. Allow the young man to be in faith. Don't be like Job's wife. Amen? Because some of us think talk. See, talk is cheap. except in the place of prayer. So don't worry about it. Pray about it. What's going to happen when you pray? It says, then. Can you see then again? When was the last time we saw then? How good and pleasant it is when people of God live together in unity. I hope the married people are listening to me now. It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Then you will experience the peace of God. Not the kind of peace that feels like God. The very peace that God operates by. That's when people will tell you, hold him. He's in denial. Amen? When they will say they fired everybody. Everybody in your office, they've laid every. In fact, they say you are still owing self because you took a loan. And then you just be gisting everybody. Then your friends will say, who is going to be in his house this evening? They will put you on suicide watch. Because the kind of peace that you'll be operating by will not make sense. They expect you to say something. They expect you to cry. They expect you to throw tantrums, get angry at somebody. They say, let it out. If you don't let it out, it can cause sickness in your body. If you tell them there's nothing to let out, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why is there nothing to let out? I let it out already. The challenge with some of us, let it out to the wrong people. If you cry about it, they say, see, I don't like people telling me sorry. Either you offend me or something happened to me. Don't tell me sorry. Because sorry is the celebration of incapacitation. You understand? Hey, Pele. Hey, Pele. Hey, yeah. Pele. I heard the story of how, you know, somebody, they went for a burial. And they said for the thing to be very, whatever, they hired mourners. They said the person that was bereaved, that when the mourners started crying, the person started laughing. You know when you're like, ah, you know, so we paid you, collateral now. The person that was supposed to be mourning now started crying. I mean, sorry, started laughing. So, these people, you don't know her, you are not related to us, why are you crying like that? And there are people like that in your life. Zero capacity, no suggestion, no help, just pity party. Let me tell you the way it happens, because I know your great grandmother will soon pass. They will come on Monday, the person passed Sunday evening, they will not go until 2 weeks' time. When it's around three, the kind of sorrow that does not stop them from eating. Eat something. They really don't send you like that. Eh? You tell them everything that happened. He broke my heart. He did this. It's okay. Ah, now, wow, people. They don't care enough to drop the phone. So stop talking to them and start talking to the God who can fix it. You know what I love about God? God says, even before anything happens that solves your problem, I give you peace as down payment that it is done. Is that peace that will begin to confuse people? Yeah. Nothing has happened, but he's at peace. You know, they will tell you are insensitive. Amen? When Mama told Bishop, I saw blood, said, woman, give me my food. Ah, this man is callous. See, but there's this peace. You just know everything is working out in my favor. Listen, God is not going to start failing with me. Are you getting this? It's not about me. Me, I can't fail. It's what men do. We can fail, but God, he has never failed. He has never lost a battle. Why is he not going to start with me? And you know the reason? That peace comes from the place of prayer. Prayer is not that difficult thing they force you to pray to do. The day you understand the power of prayer, nobody will beg you to pray. Hallelujah. So cast your care, and then finally learn of him. I kept you in charge. Okay. Learn of him. Principle number three. So now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So how does he give it? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. So the rest he said he will give you is on the other side of teaching. Listen to me. Some of us, the issue you are dealing with is not something you can snap your finger and it will go away. It is something you are going to have to be perpetually at peace about. So there is a function of knowledge. There is a dimension of knowledge you are going to have. This is what I'm trying to say. If I'm driving in my car and I have a guest who is visiting Nigeria for the first time, and we see civil defense, and they are carrying gun, Odeshi. Uniform and gun is supposed to mean a lot. But I've been around here for a long time. Civil defense cannot harass me. That one is a function of knowledge. Do you understand? When your neighbor has a gun, and then your third neighbor blows whistle, and your neighbor shoots into the air, boom, you will not be afraid. If you leave your house and visit a friend, and in the middle of the night, you hear gunshots, boom, you'll be afraid. What's the difference? Knowledge. If you've been living there for a while, you even know the sound of your neighbor's gun. You know how he shoots. You're not getting it. Let me talk to the men. They will get it. Guys, we played hanky-panky when we were kids. And from time to time, daddy may catch us. But after some time, we knew the horn of daddy. So much that even if our neighbor uses the same datsun and presses it exactly like daddy, your brother tells you, don't worry, it's not daddy. And then the first time, you missed it. You got into trouble. The second time, you miss it. You got into trouble. The third time you missed it, you got into trouble. After some time, the horn of a stranger, you will not follow. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You say, it's not. I'm telling you, this one is not a function of, I prayed about it. This is a function of fellowship. Another scripture, John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, you need to get this, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, by the way, the word advocate there is the comforter. He's a counselor. What do counselors do? They talk. They lie down on the couch. They ask you questions. They talk to you, Abby. They offer advice. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. There ought to be conversation going on between you and the Holy Spirit. Now look at what the Bible says. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. How? Through the knowledge of what the Holy Spirit will teach you. Amen? Look at what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. The peace of the world is the absence of trouble. The peace of God is supernatural knowledge. Even though Lazarus is dead, we are at peace because this sickness will not end in death. It didn't say Lazarus will not die. But the death of Lazarus is not the end. So Jesus said to his disciples, he's sleeping. Not because he won't die, but because since he's going to come back, we can't call it death. So you see, Jesus was calm because of what he knew. Feeding of the 5,000, he was calm because of what he knew. It's the same thing concerning you. You will be calm because of what you know. And the Holy Spirit says, there are things I want to teach you. You will find rest for your soul. But that rest is on the other side of learning. Amen? You remember the one, 2 John? You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Listen, the Holy Spirit knows your husband more than you know. And the Holy Spirit can teach you how to be happily married to your own husband. Some of the things he will teach you and you will start doing, you can't write a book about them. Because it's only configured for Mr. Shenu Jajamuti. If Mrs. Ajanlekoko practice it, it will not work. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. God knows everything you are dealing with. God knows what you are going to deal with that you are not aware of. And if you get close to the Holy Spirit, some of those things, even you too, you will know. So Jesus said to Peter exactly how he was going to die. So when they arrested him, put him in chains, and four guards were sleeping around him, he slept. By the time the angel came to wake Peter, in King James Version said, and the angel smote him. If you were in boarding house, you know there were guys they used to smite to wake up. Amen? Is that the one that would have dropped map of Africa on the bed? That one you'll be sleeping and you'll be dreaming that everybody was playing OGO. And after you scored, you just went beside the field to ease yourself. Let the men say amen. Amen. I had a fantastic childhood, okay? There's nothing you did I didn't do. Amen. There's nothing you did I didn't do. And it's always very sweet. Then after that, you will now sleep. And it's that kind of sleep. They will tap you. They will wake you. Then they will have to smite you. Amen? The angel smote. The guy was at peace. I'm going to die. But it's not like this. Are you getting this? Because of knowledge. The Holy Spirit is not supposed to just come to church and make you shake. No, it wants to tell you things. If Elizabeth can receive of the Holy Ghost, that I'm going to be the mother of the forerunner to the Messiah. When they told her menopause at 40, she will not be bothered. Because she knows, if the Messiah was to be born of a virgin, of a necessity, I have to be a bit advanced. Amen? I'm telling you, you can relocate to any country, but relocate by leading, so that you can be at peace. Are you listening to me? There's a particular place I love in America. I won't mention the name. I don't know the reason. I just love the place. And what people say is that there's crime in the area. But me, I just like the place. And I was watching one video recently, and a woman was talking about how she's lived there for so long. And she says, because I know people around here, because of the virtue of the things I do, I'm not afraid of anything. No evil can befall me. And I'm like, okay. When I get there, I will make friends with this woman. I'm not relocating. I'm just saying, when I visit. Rasulullah just went, Pastor, where do you like? You want to go? Like, we are going together. That's how Lot got into trouble, though. It's God that Abraham called. Lot went. Hallelujah. We're going to continue on Wednesday. Final scripture, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. This is important. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let's stop there. Love, joy, peace. It will be a comeback. Exclaim, come on stage. Let's sing. Come. Bring his mic for him. If I am in consistent fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know fruit is produced over time. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. Please watch this. When you come to church like this, I would think I've preached the message and I have an outline, but everybody is not hearing the same thing. Everybody, the Holy Spirit is taking out of this message and is talking to you exactly what you need to hear. Over time, the fruit you will bear first, what we will see manifest first, is love. The moment you are in love, you get into zero conflict. So when you look at people, all you want to do is love them. When you begin to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the first thing you know is you stop being the aggressor. Oh, did you catch that? The moment you begin to listen, it's not just, oh, I went to church and they laid hands on me. There's that dimension and it's a powerful one. But there's also the keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, where it begins to teach you, oh yeah, keep quiet. Don't say anything. Leave that place now. Go and pray in spirit for 15 minutes. After praying in the spirit, pick your Bible and read. Don't read that Bible plan you read yesterday. Go to this particular portion. I'm telling you the truth. How come I've got more material than where I started from? Because when I wake up every morning, so I go there, tell them this. Then somebody says, oh, Pishegs, every time you preach, you bless me. It's because I listen. I listen. So there's what? There's love. Okay? You may still be angry at me, but the only thing you will receive from me is love. Because now I'm walking with the Holy Spirit, and that's all I have to offer. And then after that is what? Joy. You will just be happy for no reason. How do you get over a hangover? You drink more. Some people don't understand. It's not you drink coffee. People that really know how to drink. Amen? The best way to get over a hangover is to drink again. And it is Bible. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein there is excess or debauchery, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do it? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's where joy comes from. When you see people that are really drunk, they don't cry. You never see a drunk crying. No, because their vision is elevated. They always, I'm telling you the truth, the way it is in the physical, it's the way it is in the realm of the spirit. When you make a habit of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you'll be happy for no reason. Everybody will just be there, be talking about how bad Nigeria is. Somebody listening to me right now, you've not laughed in a long time. I prophesy over you in this new dispensation. It will give you reasons to laugh.
Now, it will not be the reason everybody is seeing, but you will look at the situation and you will laugh. You will see the connection, how this trouble is going to lead to your breakthrough, and then you will laugh. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit. What comes after that? Peace. Because anytime the devil wants your blessing to lift, you are no longer the aggressor. You will now send somebody to look for your trouble. Amen. But guess what? You don't have trouble anymore. What do you have now? Peace. Let's worship Him.